Welcome to episode 14 of True Speak on the Air. I'm Spirit.
I'm Mystery.
And I'm Haluka.
Okay, over to Dr. Bionicle with the news.
Alright, well, the first item of news, you've probably all heard about it. This is DVC contest number 38. You have to see it to believe it. Now, this contest is the one and probably only contest that requires you to have action features in your MOC. Now, that means, like, the Tarkava fists or the Borok heads or, you know, usually it involves gears or rubber bands, that kind of thing. This contest is pretty special because the final voting will be held at Brickfest. For those of you who don't know what Brickfest is, it is an adult fan of LEGO, AFOL, convention type dealio held over in Washington, D.C., and it features all the LEGO themes. And the finalist MOCs for this contest will be featured at the Bionicle table there and will be voted for in ballots. And that will determine the grand prize winner. The grand prize winner gets a lot. The grand prize winner will receive a Takuta Nuva from Toys R Us, which was the old combiner in 2003, consisting of Takanuva and Makuta. That's worth $75. A 2006 Comic-Con exclusive comic signed by Greg Farshi. I probably said that wrong. $25. Tahu Nuva, back from 2002 to 2003, $15. 20 contaminated Halunuvas, which is worth $100 alone. The Tarakaba, the Rahi, back from 2001 with the fists, you know, a $50 value. Lifetime Premier Membership, I'm pretty sure you all know what that is, $35 value. It's like blogs and games and all that stuff. And a custom Brickfest MOC Champion title, which is priceless.
There are some things money can't buy, but everything else, there's Master Club.
And that is a total of over $300 in prizes for the winner. That's a lot. More than any other contest has ever given. The other finalists will receive a free one-year Premier membership. Now, there's a little something interesting about this contest. Due to postage and getting it on time to Brickfest, the contest is only for U.S. residents. So, sorry for you out there who are, you know, not from the U.S. That is one contest that we're all looking forward to. Another announcement we have here, our global moderator and news writer, Michael, otherwise known as Kaipu, however you say that, Kaipu, I don't know, is engaged to be married to Rachel, who is an animal buddy from Easy Power. So, if you haven't already dropped in your well wishes and whatnot, you can go ahead and do that in the talkback topic, which you can find on the front page. And I guess that's it.
On to the discussion topics. Topic number one, Bionicle storyline and theories. Well, for me, this is my favorite form, because I really like the storyline, having a place to discuss it, and theories on what's going to happen next. How about you?
Well, I found that this was probably the forum with the most official topics.
Yeah.
There's so many, like, topics that need to be officialized.
True. So. One of my at least visited, though.
Why?
Yeah. I don't know. I've never visited much. I should start visiting it more.
Yeah, I know. I go onto it, and then I don't really like discussing theories, because I'm not sure I know enough to determine whether a theory is right or wrong.
Wait, tension, that'd be true?
I sort of know enough, but sometimes I get proven wrong because, I know, people have exclusive information from Greg or something. I'm kind of behind on the books, too.
I haven't seen my first Legends.
Oh.
Because I'm all the way down here in Australia.
Yeah, that'd be a problem. Okay, what do you think of, like, pretty much all the staff and various things that go into, or, like, sub-things of the storyline of theories? Because there are reference keepers and fact team members.
Yeah, there's lots of managing going on. Like,
yeah.
Like, the fact team member, which is like so many members going at once, and then we have Clone Guy, who's just keep everything going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it, though. I mean, you'd think there'd be more people with all these official topics, but they're not.
Well, it's every fact team member, and then all the then all the reference keepers, and all the actual mods, staff members. So it's kind of like the jurisdiction with the most staffing, if you think about it.
Yeah. But I think what Bonesai did with, or what the Visa Power did with the S&T fact team was a good move. Mm-hmm. Or else it'd be really unorganized and stuff.
because, like, before with official topics, it would be just, like, something made, like, a year before the thing actually came out. So if it was, like, the official, I don't know, Sidorak topic, it would be, like, he is red, and that would be the whole fact list. And it would be, like, you know everything about him, and you're just trying to... So you have to read through, like, 30 pages. But now, with the Fact Team account, people can actually edit it and update it frequently. And Bonesy, or however you pronounce his name, chose members that are actually interested and know about the storyline, so that they'll probably won't let their topic rot and die.
True. Yeah. Yeah, because sometimes there are lots of official topics which used to be managed by one member, and then the member would go offline for a long time, so then
you
have to take over and start a new one. I think the reason for all these official topics is that there's so many things that you could theorize about. But
yeah.
Sure.
Like, they can be, like, I don't know, categorized.
Each time there's this major piece of information, there's so many theories about it. Like the antidermis.
Yeah.
Like a new moss of life.
Yeah. And then the antidermis news, everybody was making theories on what it could be. And then eventually it gets made into an official antidermis.
Like, that thing was made out of protoite. Maybe he had something to do it, because proto... Dermis, protodermis.
Mm-hmm. But then Greg said something about protozoa, and is there such a thing as antizoa? So.
Protozoa sounds quite ordeal or something, personally.
It's plankton. What do you think about the fact that there are so many pin topics?
It's basically, I think, because it's all the official stuff, I mean, it's the stuff that can't really be lost to tons and tons of, you know, theories and stuff. A lot of the theories are just kind of, like, up to date. Like, there are no more theories about what happened to the Borok or stuff like that.
Well, actually, there's an official topic for that.
But it never gets stuck up again.
That's because nothing new shows up.
That's true. Yeah.
Because, like, when we found out that the Borok were on Netrunui, there were a whole bunch of theories then, but nothing since has shown up.
I guess, like, the storyline of theories is like the library, I guess. You just go there to read up in case, you know, you start talking about these things you have no idea about. You just go there.
It can kind of be a discussion for a lot of others, and it has more facts that are quite unequal than Lego and Bioco.com does.
Yeah. I always found that weird.
Well, I think that's just mainly because, you know, we get the inside information that hasn't been released yet, and that's why it goes up.
Yeah. Topic number two, the Bionicle Sector 01, Greg interview.
It was pretty cool.
I was so close to being in that. I was almost there for that.
Yeah, I know. I made it in your blog.
Good.
Like 5 minutes before you invited me to this. So...
Yeah, because when I got there, everyone said, Greg, you can go into the private chat thing now. And so I'm like, oh, okay, never mind, I guess I missed it then. So I was just sitting around there, and everyone's just talking, not knowing what's going on. So I'm like, forget this, and I left. Then I come back, like, an hour later, and Dr. Bionicle signs on, and he's like, hey, where were you? You missed this awesome chat with Greg. And I, like, dash my head against the computer screen.
I think it's good. You know, we get another better look at Greg's view on things.
Mm-hmm. He writes the books of Bionicle, so he does have a place in this world.
Yeah. He's kind of like the storyline...
Unlike me.
The Lego storyline group, whatever that is. He's kind of like their outside voice, so they think up the ideas, and he kind of portrays them.
I think people kind of, like, either overestimate or underestimate Greg, because sometimes they always ask him all these questions which he doesn't really know about, like, especially in the official Greg discussion talk.
Yeah, when it's just, like, questions about sets.
Yeah, there's always these questions
about sets. He's just a wild.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about this, making it onto Bionicle.com?
Okay.
The interview?
Oh, they put it on there?
Yep. Along with a picture of Darnsurf. I don't know why, though. I don't think he was actually there.
I'm going to say that.
Well, I guess it really shows that they can acknowledge, you know, these powers in existence and its importance in the fan base.
Well, they used to have a link back when it was its previous, whatever. Like, a few formats ago, they used to have a link to VZ Power.
The interview, like, it was well coordinated, so, you know. It's cool to see his insight on things.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like, he never agreed with Vekoma turning into the bad guy. Which I found was pretty cliche.
Could have been other people. Yeah. Like, if Nuju had become a bad guy, that would have made sense, because it would, like, really explain his weird talking more. or all kinds of other stuff. Next topic, the Toa and Nika commercial that has been, I don't know, around.
I have not seen this yet.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, sorry.
That is pretty cool. It basically shows the, like, the Nika, and they come up with this, like, gate, like this, you know, traditional Nika chain link fence, and then all these memorial launchers pop out and start firing willy-nilly at them. And then they do all these cool tricks. And then there's background music by the Elmer's Jets.
Yeah. Some people think that indicates that they're the band that needs to be freed from freetheband.com.
A lot of people are getting mad about the choice because it's my uncle. I never thought my uncle would do something like me, like associate themselves with a popular quote-unquote band. A lot of people don't like the Elmer's Jets. But it would make sense. I mean, the guy who speculated who the Free the Band and was, you know, he provided us some pretty good backup information to back himself up. I just like the commercial because, you know, the background music seemed to, it wasn't all that, you know, that traditional, you know, just guitar riffs that usually come up in the traditional Bionicle commercials before. Instead, now you've got actual lyrics and it gives it a different feel, but it works.
What did you think of the animation? Because it kind of looked different with the lasers.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed with how the Nika fended off, you know, how they just did their job.
Yeah.
The most they actually did was, like, block the Zamor spheres, and then Holly and Jaller just, you know, sliced up
somehow with fire.
Yeah. It was kind of strange. I was expecting more.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there was certainly something different from the commercial, other commercials.
It can be a good
movie. Yeah, because you haven't watched the Nika commercials, and we should pity you. We should pity you very much.
Or see some of them quite quickly. Yeah, here in Australia, sorry.
I was kind of surprised at the end of the commercial where the announcer says that they're Toa and Nika instead of everyone else on.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
That was just pronunciations of names.
Yeah, phonetically, it makes sense. But
it seemed like Anika.
Yeah.
Anika phonetically. After the guy announced the Anika, or Anika, and then there was this free shot where, you know, they were all just in the air. I kind of expected more out of that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you see commercials or something like that, and then there's this big, in front of you know, boom thing. And I'm surprised they didn't show the sets themselves.
What do you mean?
Usually it's
the
little CGI stuff, and then show the set.
Then at the end, the sets normally
in front of the camera. And then they show, like, these giant hands.
Yeah. Even Noah's End and Rooney got that. We had a pretty cool start to the cracking out of the walls.
I think the advertising, the marketing plan for this, for the Nika and the 2006 Jets are more like an industrial sort of theme. Kind of noticed that.
Strange though, because you wouldn't.
All the factories and chain link fences being blown apart.
You wouldn't think that from Voyanui. Like, how we know it actually is.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping they would include the Piraka too.
Yeah.
And, you know, they do a cool fight theme. I think this commercial, If they had used the Piraka, it would have been a good chance for the Bionicle marketing team to advertise Piraka more.
Yeah.
Maybe they could really.
Well, according to Greg, so far the Piraka sales have been excellent. So I guess they just decided they didn't need to do that.
Yeah, that's true.
That they show more of the Nika because they need to sell them to keep Bionicle running.
Suddenly Haruko disappeared. Wahaha.
Or just had to leave. Topic 4, Ignition number 3.
Well, I like this comic a lot because it's one of the comics I actually really paid attention to and actually wanted to read. Because, you know, you get to learn about, you get to see a good visualization of what the Toa and Ikin can do. I particularly liked the fight scenes, the individual fight scenes with the Toa versus the Piraka. So that was cool.
Yeah, cause you get to see how they counteract all their powers now that the Matoran have told them the different strategies on how to beat them, whereas the Toa Nuva really didn't know what they were up against, so they just were, like, defeated easily by the same attacks.
Yeah, you know, these Toa have lived, I mean, yeah, these Toa have lived through all these conflicts when they were in Mataura, and they know, like, that how the Toa Nuva messed up, mm-hmm. and they know what not to do.
Yeah, like how in Jala's bio it says he doesn't want to make the same mistakes as the Toa Nuva did.
What do you think was your favorite part in this comic? Or favorite line?
Favorite line. Yeah, I think that's the thing at the end, which is probably my favorite line in all of Bionicle, where Huki goes, "Hear me, Hakan, you will never have the Mask of Life as long as the Toa live." And then he blasts him with heat vision, saying, "Then live no longer." I thought that was clever.
Yeah, that was very, you know, one of my favorite parts, well, my favorite fight scene in particular, was Toa Jalar versus Hakan, where, you know, they're just exchanging insults at each other about mm-hmm. how ugly they are, which is interesting. And you got my favorite part would have to be when Nuparu just tackles Zaktan.
Yeah, and then he's
flying
just
flying into the ocean.
Mm-hmm. And he's like flying through the air with bits of sack down
flying
everywhere.
So, yeah, that was pretty cool. Bits of yourself flying everywhere. well, I was kind of confused how exactly he beat quote unquote Zaktan. I'm not sure because I don't know how he threw him into the ocean.
Oh, I see. It says that he like kind of crashed into him, turned him into prototypes, and then in his wake kind of sucked them along and then into the water. So that's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, I guess I should have read the little gray boxes. I'm not really supposed to do that. Read the gray boxes. Oh, yes. The particularly cheesy line was when Matoro just says, "What after Thok fires at Holly, who has been attacked by the living hands of roundness." Matoro blocks Thok's attack, and he says, "Firing at a helpless foe that's cold." And yeah, same. I found that really cheesy.
Yeah, kind of cliche.
Otherwise, the comic was good.
Mm-hmm.
But you know.
Overall, I really like this one. It's interesting to see their different strategies for defeating the Paraka, and there's lots of explosions in this one, so that's good. But it's a little confusing since, like with the Zamor that sucks out Rutaka's energy. It's a bit confusing if you haven't read Bionicle Legends 3 yet, because you won't know about that. I haven't read it yet, but Darnzerv kind of gave me a brief synopsis, so I already knew about it.
I read the spoilers, so I just... Otherwise, that page seemed to be kind of cluttered. I don't know why, but I just didn't really get the gist of it at first.
Mm-hmm.
Something I noticed was that the Toa Nika just seem to be able to block the attacks with their swords or weapons, but I'm not so sure how that works.
Well, I think it's because they're energized and they have lightning and stuff like that, that somehow it's able to negate attacks or something like that, because they only block same elemental attacks, like Matoro blocks an ice blast, Jala Black blocks heat blast, but other than that, there's no fun of blocking.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. How about the end with Bison and Fenrock?
The end was very cool. Mm-hmm. Stuart Sayer and the colorist did a really good job. My favorite part of that page is the Fenrock spider thing, just like having this ball of lava in his mouth. And the colorist did a nice job with the lava and the eeriness of it.
And also, like, Bison's dialogue, where he's, like, really creepy. He's like, we must make sure they stay with us forever. Like, he's, like, some crazy psychopath. Which he is.
I like the overall comic, too. I mean, it was pretty interesting to read. And, it got me up to date with the comic book. Something I kind of got annoyed at, not annoyed, but, you know, just... Yeah, okay, I guess I was annoyed. Was that Jaller's mask kind of seemed really ugly in some shots. Some of them look really cool, like hawk-like, especially in the second to last page. Some of them just look... I think it's not that it's inconsistent.
It's just that, you know, maybe it's the angle that...
Yeah, because he kind of, like, flips around several angles. So, it's pretty hard mask to draw.
That's true. It's probably a really tough job for Stuart to do all that work. So
yeah.
To, you know, give credit to the guy.
That ends the discussion part of the show. So over to the questions that I forgot last time. Start off with the... I'll just start up with the written questions. Our first question comes from Dark Hunter SZ, and he asks, who do you guys think will be the returning villain in the present storyline? So, Greg F. has told us that a villain is returning in Bionicle Legends 5 from, I don't know, some year in the past, I'm not sure. So who do you think it's going to be?
I'm not so much of a storyline and varies type of guy, but somebody I would like it to be would probably be, I guess, Rudaka, because she was cool.
I think that it might be Kraka, because in the S&T contest, you weren't allowed to use her in your entry for the Metronuity thing. Like, she wasn't allowed to come out of the Zone of Shadows show, so I think there might be a little significance behind that.
Well, okay. Well, now that I know that, I can correct myself and say, I think it will be cool too. I think Kraka would make an interesting returning villain. And I think it'd be easy to, you know, fit her into a storyline, but she could be any of them as well.
Yeah.
You know, just disguising her.
The question is, would she be a villain? Because, like, she was a villain before, and then she kind of went good.
Ah.
But after being in the Zone of Shadows for 1,000 years, do you think that might have changed her?
Probably. I mean, when you get, I don't know, it depends. Maybe she had some, you know, thinking over time. But sometimes, I guess she'd be pretty angry.
Yeah.
If you got stuck in this pit of doom, I would be pretty angry. Mm. So yeah, I think she'd be evil.
Okay. So our next question comes from Delta 32, and he asks, what is your worst experience when buying a Bionicle? Well, I usually don't have lots of bad experiences, because I kind of go in, grab the sets I want, and I'm out in like 5 minutes flat. So I don't stick around for bad things to happen. But I think once, back in 2004, when the Toa Metro first came out, they had all the new ones that I didn't have. They were all the way at the back, at a really high shelf. So I kind of had to do a lot of jumping and reaching over, and that kind of caused a bit of a mess, knocking them onto the floor and whatnot.
Isn't there such thing called customer service?
Yeah, but I'm taller than most people, so...
Whatever.
I don't even know why they were that high up.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. So anyway, I guess in general, it would be that each time I go to the closest Lego supplier, which is like half an hour drive away, I find out that there are no new sets. So I get really kind of annoyed, but you know, you can expect that of China since we get the sets really late. But I guess the worst experience was once in Hong Kong, I think. I was in a department store, and I saw Sidorak for a discount price. So I was like, yay. And it was the last Sidorak, so I took it, and I was holding it, and I was waiting for my mom to come back from shopping somewhere else. So then this lady comes with her son, and she asks where the last Sidorak has gone. And the lady working at the store tells her, yes, but she tells her that she supposes that it is gone. And here I am, standing right next to the lady, holding Sidorak behind my back, and my face is extremely red. So then the lady looks at me, and she doesn't notice that I'm holding something behind my back, or at least I think she doesn't. And she gets kind of mad that, you know, because she wanted to buy her kid a toy. And here is this 13-year-old kid, you know, just hanging around. So I ended up hiding Sidorak behind this really tall Technic racing car set until my mom came.
On to the audio question.
Hey, BZ Power, this is Godzilla Forever, and I'm going to ask, how many Toa are there up to date?
Well, there are probably like a billion zillion.
Yeah, geez.
The ones that have been mentioned so far, let's see, there's 11, which is Lee Khan's team, 12 if you add Duma, another 6, so that's 18 if you add the Haga, the Metru, that makes 24, oh yeah,
so
that's 30, the Iniga, 36, oh, there's another team of 6 Toa, I think, possibly, that went to Voyanui, so I just say that was 6, make that 42.
Oh, wait. Oh. There was the toe of plasma that got his face taken out by Zach Tan. And then there was the toe of gravity who used to be the Harada of Voyager.
Wait, so that's... Hang on. If we don't count the rest of the members of his team... Yeah, okay, so 43, counting the team that went to Boi Nui before the Anika and the Nuva. This is hard. There are two Toro Plasmas, so that's 45.
Oh, wait, no, and there was also...
Two Toro Sonics, which is 45, because that includes Krakua and the guy who died. A Toro of Gravity, who got killed, presumably, by Lariska, so that's 46... Then there were like four that turned into Dark Hunters, so that's 50 plus 300 that were in the Toa Dark Hunter War, so that's 250. It's probably more, but let's just say that there are 400 known to date, roughly.
Probably.
Yes. Thousands. So we really don't know yet. Let's just say 350 have been mentioned easily. Next question from Shinha Baraka of Mountains.
Two-part question. First, what is the Great Cataclysm? And second, I heard somewhere that when it happened, all the islands were one mainland, and then once it happened, they all broke apart. Is this true?
The Great Cataclysm. Well, this is very complicated. At the exact same time that Masanui fell asleep, there was this huge earthquake, and crazy things happened all over the world. Yeah, so things like the sun, one of the sun holes getting plugged, and Masanui becoming all covered in rocks and trees and water and ice. And also the earthquake was in Metronui that kind of broke everything. It was part of it. As well as Voi Nui breaking off of a larger landmass and being sent into the sky. Now that kind of brings us to the second point of your question, which was you heard that all the islands were part of the mainland. This is not true. When it says the mainland, it means the land that Karzani sent all the fixed Matoran after fixing them until he started enslaving them. And so this is a giant piece of land that Voi Nui used to be attached to. Then on the Great Cataclysm, it broke off and flew into the sky. That I think that pretty much answers your question. Do you have anything to add to that?
No, but...
Yes.
That was very
complicated.
And complicated, but thank you, Spirit. I just now understand what the
Yay.
Great Cataclysm is.
You're welcome.
So
that'd be $5.
What? No.
Okay, I only have one announcement, and that's that I'm going to try and get transcripts of all the episodes now. Mr. E has already done episode 1, and I'm going to see if I can get Dr. Bionicle to work with him on that. But if you, the listener, would like to do a volunteer... transcript. That'd be great. So if you could PM me, telling me what episode you want to do, so you don't do the same one as someone else, and then I'll tell you if it's being done or not, and then you can just pretty much listen to the episode and then write down everything people say in script form, and then I'll send that to Dr. Bionicle's proofreader myself, and then you can be part of Tree Speak on the Air history.
Yay.
And also, I'd just like to add, not to do episode 2 as I am already had that. So thanks.
And that wraps up episode 14 of Tree Speak on the Air. I'm Spirit.
And I'm Mr. E. I'm full of cake and sugar, so I will say things that I do not intend to say, but they will still sound very, very strange.